Praise the Lord. Luke 16. We just read through this passage, a passage that we have all heard, and we've all, I'm sure, heard messages from. And I thought, in light of the missions conference coming up, that we need to hear about Luke 16 again. Our theme is a heart for missions, a heart for missions. It says in Ezra 7 that Ezra prepared his heart. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. If you don't get your heart prepared, you'll never do anything. And I would encourage you that, and all of us, to have our, if we're going to have a heart for missions, we need to get our heart prepared to receive what it is God has for us. And I was thinking of that, and came across, again, Luke 16. I cannot imagine anyone's heart being prepared if we ignore Luke 16 and the truth that is there. I can't imagine that we could possibly think our hearts are prepared if we look past Adrian and cast our gaze into the world, but we look past our own neighborhood. We look past our own co-workers and our own loved ones. I can't imagine that being the kind of heart that is a heart for missions. You say, "Oh no, I'm for getting Africans saved." But if you would, and that's good. That's a wonderful thing. But if you would look past your own neighbor, if you look past your own folks where you work, if you look past your own loved ones, I can't imagine that would be the kind of heart God would want us to have. It's a heart for missions, and right here is a great mission field. And let's not look past. We have missionaries in South America coming, and praise the Lord, and great opportunities for souls to be saved in South America, Thailand, just unbelievable opportunities to see people saved in Thailand. But understand this: if we look past our own neighborhood, if we look past the streets of our city and our county, if we look past all that and to cast a glimpse at the world, then we really don't have a heart for missions. Two words are the title of the message this morning, and that is, those words are found in verse 23, simply, in hell. In hell. People are in hell today. They're burning in hell. It's not a popular message. It's not even preached behind many pulpits today, but in hell is in the Bible. We preach and we teach that this book right here is the inspired, preserved. This is God's word for you and I. And in English, here's what it says. It says in hell. Here's a man that had neighbors, and here's a man that had a church, I'm sure, in his community. Here's a man that he had... I can almost assure you there's somebody in influencing him. Certainly Lazarus, I'm sure, tried to. But here's a man that could have been your next-door neighbor. He could have been your co-worker. He could have been a fellow that that you knew, and maybe he was. You saw him at the store a few times. Maybe you waited on him a couple times. And here's a man, though, that the Bible says in hell. He's a man in hell. It's not just a story, not a parable. It is a true statement. This man, this rich man, is in hell. And 2,000 years ago he was in hell, and today he is still in hell. And 2,000 years from now he'll be in hell. I read that and I think about the fact that he'll never get out of hell, other than one time. And he'll appear at the great white throne judgment of God Almighty, where he will be sentenced then to hell for all eternity. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And in hell, they will be for all eternity. Father, I pray that you'll help us today to realize that the heart for mission starts with two words. People are in hell. In hell. Help us, Lord, to feel some of the heat, to recognize the torment, to understand the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, to not be blinded by how good we may have it here, but to realize that people are in hell, people are going to hell, more will go to hell, and they'll be there for all eternity. I pray you'll convict someone today who's maybe not saved that that's where they're going to go if they don't get saved. I pray you'll convict Christians today that their dad, their mom, their grandma, their grandpa, their loved one, their coworker, their neighbor, that's where they're going to go if they don't get saved. Help us, God, as a church, to have a heart for missions and to realize it all starts with in hell. People are going to hell. And God, that we would certainly be burdened for the world, but that we'd not lose sight of our own neighborhood. Please speak to hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We hear of fires all the time. We hear of just unbelievable stories, the car bombing, and the man and his two boys just escaping from what would have been a terrible, terrible death, but already suffering from the explosion and the fire that took place. Over the years, there have been many, many fires. I wrote down several. December 1st, 1958, in Chicago, a school caught on fire. 89 children and three nuns were burned to death in that fire. A New York newspaper said about that it was a glimpse of hell. March 18th, 1937, in New London, Texas, another school where 294 people died, burnt to death in that fire. March 4th, 1908, Cleveland, Ohio, in a school, 176 children burned to death in that fire. November 28th, 1942, a nightclub in Boston, Massachusetts, 498 people burnt to death in that fire. December 30th, 1903, in the Iroquois Theater in Chicago, Illinois, 575 people burnt to death in the fire. I've done funerals for people who burnt to death, three little children burnt to death in a mobile home fire. And what a terrible, terrible way to die. Now, by the way, that's one of the worst things about hell. You don't die. You just burn. What a terrible way. Most of us have been burnt before, and it is an agonizing pain. Most of us have never had a third-degree burn. Certainly, we've never experienced our flesh literally burning on fire. Some perhaps have. But we all know about it. We all hear about it. We all certainly have heard about people that have been burnt with third-degree burns and how dangerous it is for them and how much pain. That is the thing that I always hear about. It is a horrible, horrible way to suffer burning and your flesh being burned. In fact, we've heard about it so much. It was so bad. And this is one of the amazing stories of 9/11 in 2001. And one of the most amazing things, as I remember that 10 years ago, while we were watching some of the footage of the command centers and all that, all of a sudden hearing outside and watching people turn and look, and then and you're what in the world? What are pieces of the building? No, it wasn't pieces of the building falling. It was people jumping out of the windows trying to escape the fire. Now listen to me, 1,000 feet, they jumped. They said that when people landed, you couldn't even tell it was a human being, but they jumped. What were they trying to escape? The fire. 1,000, 200 people, they say, and they will never know the exact amount, but 200 people, think about that. People, eyewitness testimony in other buildings, they saw their faces and they looked out and they just fell. Why? Because behind them were flames and fire. Understand, hell is a place of fire. It's a place of burning. These people jumped 1,000 feet out of a building to escape that fire. Understand, in hell, there's nowhere to jump. They said that perhaps when the windows opened and they could smell the fresh air, they could see the blue sky that was outside when it was just black smoke behind them and flames. Perhaps that's what caused them just to fall out the windows. Understand, in hell, there is no blue sky. In hell, there is no fresh air. In hell, it is fire and flame. And the Bible tells us about the horrible fate of a man in Luke 16. And it just says, in hell. In hell. It's not questioned. It's not wondered about. In the Bible, it's not something that we even could begin to question whether that's true or not. It's just in hell. It's taken for granted as we read along this story that, okay, there was a man named Lazarus, there was a rich man, and Lazarus, he had nothing, and the beggar died, and he was carried by angels. Boy, what a difference into Abraham's bosom, and he's okay. And it just says the rich man, he died, he was buried, but he didn't just die. It didn't just end for him, because in hell, it all goes on. It just keeps going on. In hell, the Bible says. In a place of flames and fire. And these people that we read about that died in these different places and schools and homes and mobile homes and cars and people burned to death. And at least in our thinking, they died and it's over. But in hell, it's never over. And this rich man, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Being in torment, it's crucial that we understand what God says about hell. Torments, verse 23. Verse 24, I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25, thou art tormented. And over and over and over and over again, we think about this fella in hell. That's what the Heart for Missions, that's what it's all about. People are going to hell. People in Thailand, people in South America, people in the Philippines, people in Mexico, but my friend, understand, there are people in Lenawee County that are going to hell. Three things and we'll be done. Number one, I want to give an explanation. An explanation. It's Sunday morning. There are certainly more pleasant things to preach. Why would the preacher preach about hell? Why would he do it? I mean, well, the reason I'm preaching on it is because of those two words. Because it's real. In hell. If God, and I said this last week, this is one of the things that bugs me the most is the doctrine of hell. There's no wiggle room, folks. Brother Cree, I want there to be. Honestly, don't you? I wish there was. You go to preach in a prison. You go to preach in a nursing home. You go to preach to people and you talk to them about hell and maybe you go soul winning and they say, I'm not interested. I don't want any. And I want there to be some wiggle room. I want there to be some way that, okay, maybe they could, just spend a couple days there and then get out of there. But God doesn't give any wiggle room. It's just in hell. That's it. Just in hell. I mean, a rich man, he could have paid something maybe. But you just don't get that. He's begging for one drop of water. And he doesn't get it, ever. It's just, there are more pleasant things to preach about. But those two words, they need to bother us. Preparing to have a heart for missions, it's got to start with those two words, in hell. It's not a game. It's not a misprint. It's not a parable. This man is in hell. And as we read this passage, he's in hell, and he is still there 2,000 years later in hell. He's still begging for that one drop of water. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I've been thirsty before. You've been thirsty before. But I have never been so thirsty that I thought that just one drop of water would make me satisfied. But in hell, they'd take that little bit of hope for water. But it never came, and it never will come. No, my friend, it's not a game. It's not a parable. It's not a story. It is the truth. This man is in hell and has been with hundreds, thousands, millions of people, and many, many more are yet to come in hell. In hell. Well, some people, you know, they would criticize, well, preacher, there's some young people here, and they just, you know, they shouldn't hear about this. They can't handle that kind of stuff. And yet the movies and shows today are It is amazing, the kind of stuff. But I don't care what Halloween thing they do this year. I don't care what they do over at the 4-H fairgrounds and have gory things and they have nasty things and headless people and blood and guts. And by the way, if you want to see all that stuff, God bless you. I don't have any idea why. But I got news for you. They cannot make it as bad as hell. There's not anything man could do. You'll hear every now and then somebody, isn't hell here on earth? Not even close. You know, you'll hear people say, it's hot as. It's not even close. You want to get hot as, get in your oven after it's been preheated, and you're still not even close. But see, you would die there. In hell, you don't. I do not think there is anything more terrible than burning flesh. That never burns up, but the pain is always there. I've had some burns before. I've had some serious burns before, and the pain just goes on and on and on, and it just doesn't go away. You just can't get away from it. Can you imagine how much worse hell is? We read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and people burnt, Christians burnt at the stake, and you think, what a terrible way to die. What a terrible way to die. But I submit to you today, folks, what a terrible way to live. Burning and burning and burning. Somebody says, but God's a God of love. And I've heard preachers say that he wouldn't do that to people. You've heard people lie. Because God says that is exactly what's going to happen. And God sent his son to die on a cross so that no one would have to go to hell. And my friend, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you've never been saved, you don't have to go to hell. I went back to Grace Baptist Church in Bluffton, Indiana, while we were with Brenda's dad, and we were there on a Wednesday night, first time I'd been in that church for many, many, many years. And I walked back to where I used to go to church there, and I used to sit as an unsaved teenager. And I went back and I grabbed hold of the back of the pew where I used to grab hold when the preacher preached about hell and gave the invitation. I used to hold on and I'd shake and I would tremble and sweat would pour down my sides and would break out on my, because I did not want to go to hell, but I was so stubborn I didn't want to get saved either. And I'm so glad that I got saved, because I don't want to go to hell. In hell, the Bible says, in hell. In hell. Many don't believe in it, but they believe in heaven. And as I said the other day, Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. In hell. You might find yourself doubting the reality of hell. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In Matthew 13, "Angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 25:30, Jesus said, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Many preachers have preached about hell, and they've talked about it. And R.A. Torrey said, "I claim to be a scholarly preacher, and I believe the old-fashioned Bible doctrine regarding a Bible hell." You know, you say, I know a lot of preachers, they don't believe that anymore. Listen to me, I cannot help it that they've gotten away from the truth. But that is the truth. There is a hell. It is real. It is exactly how God describes it. Henry Ward Beecher said, "The thoughts of future punishment for sinners, which the Bible reveals, is enough to make an earthquake of terror in a man's soul," and it should. But not if we don't talk about it. Not if we don't preach on it. Not if we kind of push it aside like, we'll be able to get out of this somehow. There isn't any getting out of it, folks. It's like I said, there's no wiggle room. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "Hell, the saved one will not know. That wrath he will not feel." And praise God for that, but do you love anyone? Billy Sunday said, "You'll not have to be in hell for 5 minutes until you'll believe there is one." So true. So true. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Isaiah 14:15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Revelation 20:15, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible is our only source of information on this subject, and the Bible talks about a real burning hell. He said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Genesis 19, it talks about God raining down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says God is a consuming fire. Leviticus 10:2, two wicked sons of Aaron the priest put strange fire on the altar. And the Bible says this, there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. In Numbers 11:1, children of Israel complained and grumbled until God sent fire, you know the story, and consumed them. In Numbers 16:35, God opened the earth and he swallowed those that were going against God's authority, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, their families, and swallowed them. The Bible says there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. That's God said that. 2 Kings 1, verse 10, fire was sent down from God in answer to Elijah's prayer and devoured 50 men on two different occasions. Our God is a consuming fire. In 2 Thessalonians 1, it says that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. So much for, hey, let's just have fun here. So much for, well, we're just going to eat, drink, and be merry and do our thing as Christians. So much for, well, we need to reach people in other countries and we need to reach people all across the world. Hey, I'm talking to you about your dad and your mom and your brother and your sister and your loved one and your coworker and your neighbor. I'm talking to you about people you say you love. Do you love them? Or do you not? How in the world could we say we love someone and let them die and go to hell? How could we possibly do it? God's not changed, folks. That same hell that got my attention as a 17-year-old boy, that's the same hell that people are going to. And after all these years, people have gone to, and people are burning, and they will continue to burn in that same hell. That's why we preach that on a Sunday morning. That's my explanation for preaching in hell before a missions conference. How to have a heart for mission started off with in hell. Number two, let's look at an examination. You know, an examination. I really was paying attention to the 10-year anniversary of the bombing of the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania. And I it just amazed me how much stuff is on the internet about that and how you can, there's so many detailed accounts and everything. And when you think about a terror that would cause people to jump 1,000 feet knowing that they're going to die. But that was far, far better than burning up. Man, I cannot imagine. I cringe when I think about what hell's really like. And again, I don't like it. I wish there was some way out of this thing. Well, there is. Jesus said, I am the way. You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. People don't care anymore. Listen to me. How do you know when you've never given them a tract? How do you know when you've never invited them to your church? How do you know when you've never talked to them about the Lord? How do you know? I mean, come on, you say, well, I got my fire insurance. Well, but they could have fire insurance too. How do you know if you've never told anybody? How do you know if they'll listen or not? I mean, I was the guy that wouldn't listen. I was the guy that made fun. I was the guy that laughed at the people that witnessed to me and gave me gospel tracts. I was the guy that said, get lost. How do we know? Let's examine hell for just a moment. Matthew 13:42. Go there, please. Matthew 13, verse 42. I've already read several verses. It's Start at verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. By the way, we all do iniquity, don't we? But that's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay for that. Okay, that's why I'm not in that list. That's why you're not in that list. That's why we're not in that group. But notice what happens. Shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing. What is wailing? Wailing is to cry from pain. It is to cry out in a way that it's not calling for someone. It's not calling to get anything. It is a cry from pain that cannot be described as anything other than wailing. The Bible says also in verse 42 that there'd be wailing and gnashing of teeth, the gritting of teeth because of pain, because of hurt, because there's just nothing else you can do. How awful it is, and yet those two words keep coming back to me, in hell. In hell is a rich man. His money can't do him any good. In hell is a rich man. He can't buy water. In hell is a rich man who's gritting his teeth, and for 2,000 years now he has gritted those teeth, and he's crying out, he's wailing. It's more than just shedding tears. It's wailing because of the pain. It is so excruciating. How awful! And the Bible says there'd be weeping and wailing. Weeping. Why does somebody weep? They weep from sorrow. Why does somebody weep? They weep from being hurt. The wailing because of the pain, because the flesh is burning. The weeping from sorrow, thinking, there's no one here that loves me. You know, you've witnessed to people before, and you've talked to them about the Lord and how they can be saved, and they say, oh, you know what? When I get to hell, all my buddies and I are going to drink beer in hell. I've heard them say it over and over again. Oh, my friend, let me tell you something. That'll never happen. There's going to be weeping because there are no friends in hell. There are no loved ones together gathering in hell. And if you did see a loved one in hell, wouldn't you want to kill them? Because they didn't influence you to stay out of there. Not in hell. The weeping, the sorrow. You know, I've said this and I say it over and over and over. You know, funerals, and I watch people, and I watch funerals, and I sometimes look at the obituaries, and I wonder about people, and I think, how could an unsaved person ever go to a funeral? We'll gather around the casket, and we just did two times within the last month and a half or so, and we'll gather around at the cemetery, and there's a casket getting ready to be lowered down into the hole, and we'll gather around, we'll sing Amazing Grace, and we know that it's a sorrowful time, but it's not sorrow as those that have no hope. It's a sorrow that, hey, we miss you now, but we'll see you again. And in hell, they don't have that hope, ever. There is no hope of that. And there's weeping. There's no, hi, Mom, hi, Dad. Boy, it's good to see you. There won't be any of that. You understand, in heaven, we're on streets of gold. We're in mansions. We're rejoicing. We're praising the Lord. He's the light of heaven. There is no darkness. It's perfect. We talk about it. We talk about seeing the Lord Jesus and the print of the nails in his hand, and we sing about that, and we rejoice, and we sing about Beulah Land, and wow, what a wonderful time it's going to be in heaven. There's nothing like that for those in hell. Nothing. The weeping is sorrow. Sorrow. Sorrow because, and I believe this with all my heart, you're here today and you're not saved. You'll remember this service. This whole service may go over in your mind in hell. Not just one day, not just 2 days, not just 3 days, years and years and years and years and years and years. That preacher told me, he told me that track I read, it said, why didn't I get saved? Why wouldn't I get saved? Weeping, wailing, gnashing. The Bible says back in Luke 16, the rich man, he's in hell. He lift up his eyes being in torments. Verse 24, he said, I am tormented in this flame. You want to just get a little idea of hell, just light a match and stick your finger in it. I promise you, you're not going to be able to hold it there very long. You're not going to like it. I remember guys, you know, to be cool, they used to take a cigarette and they'd put it in their here in the elbow, and they'd put it there and they'd go like that and see who could hold it there the longest. You know, that's cool. Right. Tell you what, I've watched big old strong guys with tears coming down their cheeks. Yeah, that fire. Boy, our skin doesn't like fire. Tormented in a flame. The liberals say, well, you know, that's just, you know, it doesn't really mean that. If it didn't mean that, why did God say it? Why did God say that this man is in hell? Why did God say that he lift up his eyes? I mean, he could see Lazarus, he could see all around him, and why did he say that I'm tormented in a flame? Unless he really was. Why? Matthew 8:12 says, cast into outer darkness. I think one of the worst things about hell is the darkness. Outer darkness. I'm reminded of one of the plagues in Egypt was darkness that could be felt. If you've ever been in a cave, a place totally absent of any light at all, and that you can actually feel that darkness. That's hell. Jesus is the light of the world. And without Jesus, it's darkness. Can you imagine a place like that? Where do I go? What do I do? There's nowhere to go. Some say that hell is a person is just constantly falling through the flames. I don't know. It's a place of darkness. Whereas in heaven, streets of gold, gates of pearl, Jesus is the light. Can you imagine? Walls of jasper. Can you imagine what heaven, how bright it's going to be? Can you imagine what, I mean, that's what we're going to experience. You say, oh, I'm so glad I'm going there. What about your dad? I remember when right after I got saved, we had Carl Hatch come to our church. And Carl Hatch preached about soul winning. I didn't know what soul winning, I had no clue. Absolutely no idea what it was to tell anybody how to be saved. And I remember him talking about hell and him talking about how I believe it was his brother that was lost in a car fire and how that he burned up and he watched him burn up. It was somebody that he loved very much. I think it was a brother. And I remember hearing that and I remember picturing my own dad in hell. Oh, I remember. I wish you'd picture some of your loved ones there. I remember praying all night long one time, praying for my dad not to go to hell. Mark 9, verse 43. Mark 9, 43. Every time I try to find a loophole, I remember when I first got saved, I wanted a loophole for my dad, my mom, my grandma, my grandpa. They weren't saved, and I knew that. I wanted something. I wanted some way that they could get out of this thing. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. You know, think about that. Think about that. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Can you imagine that? Into the fire that never shall be quenched. You see that? Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He says, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. I mean, cut off your hand. Cut off your foot. Verse 47, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Can you imagine doing that? But it says it's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. And it says a couple times there, it's a fire that it can never be quenched. It's not going to go out. Somebody said, well, that's impossible. Well, explain the sun. Tell me what gas line it's hooked up to. And it just keeps burning. I'm not saying that the sun is where hell is. I'm just saying, you know, with God, He's God. Unquenchable. It's not going to go out. Every time I would try to find a loophole and figure, you know, some way out of this thing called hell, the fire doesn't go out. It says it shall not be quenched ever. Look at Revelation 14 and verse 8. Revelation 14 and verse 8. I've watched people in the hospital that have had burns and just felt so bad for them and the pain that they're going through. And you watch them and they'll take those bandages off and they'll put that cream on there and try to get those wounds to heal. But the very best thing they can do for them is when they give them a morphine drip or something so that they can just go to sleep. The very best thing is that they just go to sleep. But look at Revelation 14 and verse 8. The Bible says there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen that great city because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Nobody wants to think about that wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. That's hell. No rest. No rest. Luke 16, the rich man was thirsty, he'll never get a drink. Luke 16, the rich man has a memory. Verse 25, Abraham said, son, remember, son, remember, son, remember, son, remember. Can you remember in hell? Oh yeah, he remembers everything. He remembers the cool days. He remembers air conditioning. He remembers plenty to drink. He remembers the good life. The rich man had the good life. And he said, son, remember, remember. And he'll remember church services. And he'll remember altar calls. And he'll remember conviction. Yeah, the memory. I don't know of anything worse other than the flames burning. It's just remembering what it could have been. You're here today and you say, I got everybody fooled. My friend, you are going to go to hell. It gets you nothing to fool me or to fool a mom or a dad or to fool somebody else, a teacher. Listen to me. It's a place where you'll remember this service. You'll remember the altar call. You'll remember the opportunity to be saved. Nobody has to go to hell. It's a place of fear. In verse 27, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I think he was afraid of them coming and confronting him. It's a place of unanswered prayer. Send Lazarus! Let him bring me put the tip of his finger in water and place that on my tongue. Please, would you? Can't do that. Wow, we've had so many prayers answered just this week. Good night. So many times God has answered our prayers. What a blessing it is to be saved and to have a God who answers our prayers. But in hell, there's no prayers ever answered. There's no rejoicing. There's no praising. Nothing. Hypocrites are there. Heathen are there. Murderers are there. Rapists are there. Cursing is there. Cursing God is there. And hell never ends. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be. Who shall be. There's no way around that, folks. I've tried to get around it. You can't get around it. I had somebody just really, really question several years ago, just, you know, how can there really be a hell and all of that? And I had walked that road myself, and they said, you know, I've come to a conclusion. It just really isn't real. I said, you know what? If you get in your Bible, you'll come to the conclusion that it is real. Who shall be punished? Come on, God. There's good people out there that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says there's none good. Yeah, but they get a Nobel Peace Prize, or they get this, or they do these things, and they do all these good things. But you got to understand, if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Yeah. And shall be punished with everlasting destruction. I don't know what's worse than to think that it's everlasting. If you know what? If you went to hell and poof, you're just gone, that's one thing. But this is everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And hell is forever. That means there's no hope forever. There's pain forever. That means there's sorrow forever. There's weeping. There's wailing. There's gnashing of teeth. There's torment. It's forever. Hey, rich man, you think it's going to be over? It's never going to be over, rich man. In torment you are. In hell you are. You're tormented in a flame, and it just goes on, and it goes on. And you take all the grains of wheat times all the leaves on the face of the earth times all the grains of sand times all the stars in the sky times all the people in the world times all the raindrops that fall and all the snowflakes that fall and the inches to the farthest star, and you multiply all that together and hell's just starting. And I'm sorry, I don't think we can ignore that if we're going to have a heart for missions. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music, and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long, weary night. No love, nor peace, nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, pardon, nor grace. No water. Oh God, what a terrible place. The pangs of the lost no human can tell. Not one moment's ease, there is no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair, here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know, for God in his word hath told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers, swearers, haters of God, Christ rejectors while here on earth trod. Murderers, gamblers, drunkards, and liars will have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, and mean, what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell are torments and woes of eternal hell. Why talk about hell? Because that's what missions is all about. In hell. An explanation, an examination. The last thing is an exhortation. Jesus said to the Pharisees, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And yet with that, he says, God is not willing that any should perish. You think about it, folks. God is not willing that any should perish. And so God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is not willing that any should perish. The heart for missions. If God's not willing, why are we? Why would we be willing? That person did me wrong. God will show them. Oh, you know, that's all true. But let's get a heart for missions. Let's get a heart for missions and understand that in hell is real. Christians, we need to tell people. We need to tell people. We need to live right. We need to quit fighting with each other. We need to quit pouting about everything. And we need to tell people because they're going to go to hell. You know, while Christians are fighting with each other and getting upset over colors of carpet and foolish garbage, people are dying and going to hell, and the devil, he just laughs. I close with Jude 22. We had one missions conference. Some have compassion. Taken from Jude. Making a difference. Jude 22. But watch what else it says. Others save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. If you saw somebody in a fire and there was some way you could try to get them out, would you? Would you try to get them out of that burning house? We honored firemen, policemen, first responders recently. What a blessing that was. What a great service that was. I think, though, we need to realize there's an act of heroism among Christians that is being neglected, severely neglected today. And that is pulling people out of the fire. You say, well, you know, they don't really appreciate that. They will. They will. I don't know how many people as a teenager I cussed out that tried to tell me how to be saved. I don't remember. There were a lot of them, a lot of teenagers. I don't remember all the response that I gave to the various people that talked to me, how many times I mocked them, got with my group of friends, and we made fun of the Christians. I don't remember how many. But I'll tell you what, I am sure glad people kept up and kept after me. Amen. We went to the little room where in Bluffton at Grace Baptist Church, where a fellow who's now a missionary in Africa and the youth director cornered me. I still remember sitting in that little room, my hair down on my shoulders, and trying to be as cool could be. But they started talking to me about hell. And they started telling me how hot and what hell was. And all of a sudden, I'll be honest with you, I could feel it. Thank God. So, preacher, I don't want to offend anybody. How offended do you suppose the rich man is in hell? Come on, folks. Grab tracks. Start talking. Tell people about hell. And maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. Please, I beg you, come and get saved today. You say, oh, it's just too hard. It's not as hard as eternity in hell. It's not even close. Get saved today. If you're not saved, let's bow our heads, please. Think of dad and mom, grandma and grandpa. Because the words, in hell, that's where the heart for missions. You want to prepare your heart? Then you say, God, make those words real to me, in hell. In hell. In hell. I wonder how many here would say, preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved. If I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Raise your hand. Be honest. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. You say, I don't know if I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, God's spoken to my heart as a Christian today. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. It's a Christian. Be honest. Come on. Be honest. God's speaking to my heart. Think about it. It's your son. He's not saved. It's your mom. She's not saved. It's that coworker. It's a person you call friend. They're not saved. Father, bless our invitation. Help us to have the heart for missions that would see lost people as going to hell and that would realize that it's a terrible, terrible place of torment. And God, that we would be so burdened that, yes, we would want people to go all over the world and preach the gospel, but God, we would not neglect our own backyard. Please bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.